Today is the 9th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. It is a joy, an honor, a privilege to be here in this safe oasis that we have, that we create for each other. All we have to do is show up. Show up for ourselves, show up for each other. And we're here in this safe place to take another step forward on our journey through the scriptures this year. So we're working our way through the book of Jeremiah at this point in the Old Testament. We concluded Paul's letter to the Colossians yesterday, which will bring us to another of Paul's letters. This is probably the oldest New Testament writing. 1 Thessalonians, probably the oldest Christian letter, Christian writing that is preserved in the New Testament. But we will get there. But first, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1 through 14, verse 10. You are always righteous, Lord. When I bring a case before you, yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them and they have taken roots. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land lie parched, and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked. The animals and birds have perished. Moreover, the people are saying, he will not see what happens to us. If you have raced with men on foot, and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Your relatives, members of your own family, even they have betrayed you. They have raised a loud cry against you. Do not trust them, though they speak well of you. I will forsake my house, abandon my inheritance. I will give the one I love into the hands of her enemies. My inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She roars at me, therefore I hate her. Has not my inheritance become to me like a speckled bird of prey that other birds of prey surround and attack? Go and gather all the wild beasts. Bring them to devour. Many shepherds will ruin my vineyard and trample down my field. They will turn my pleasant field into a desolate wasteland. It will be made a wasteland, parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste, because there is no one who cares. Over all the barren heights in the desert, destroyers will swarm, for the sword of the Lord will devour from one end of the land to the other. No one will be safe. They will sow wheat but reap thorns. They will wear themselves out but gain nothing. They will bear the shame of their harvest because of the Lord's fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. As for all my wicked neighbors who seized the inheritance I gave my people Israel, I will uproot them from their lands, and I will uproot the people of Judah from among them. But after I uproot them, I will again have compassion and will bring each of them back to their own inheritance and their own country. And if they learn well the ways of my people and swear by my name, saying, as surely as the Lord lives, even as they once taught my people to swear by Baal, then they will be established among my people. But if any nation does not listen, I will completely uproot and destroy it, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a linen belt and put it around your waist, but do not let it touch water. So I bought a belt as the Lord directed and put it around my waist. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the belt you bought and are wearing around your waist and go now to Parat and hide it there in a crevice in the rocks. So I went and hid it at Parat, as the Lord told me. Many days later, the Lord said to me, go now to Parat and get the belt I told you to hide there. So I went to Parat and dug up the belt and took it from the place where I had hidden it. But now it was ruined and completely useless. And the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them, will be like this belt, completely useless. For as a belt is bound around the waist, so I bound all the people of Israel and all the people of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people for my renown and praise and honor. But they have not listened. Say to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Every wineskin should be filled with wine. And if they say to you, don't we know that every wineskin should be filled with wine? Then tell them, this is what the Lord says. I am going to fill with drunkenness all who live in this land, including the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all those living in Jerusalem. I will smash them, one against the other, parents and children alike, declares the Lord. I will allow no pity or mercy or compassion to keep me from destroying them. Hear and pay attention. Do not be arrogant, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings the darkness, before your feet stumble on the darkening hills. You hope for light, but he will turn it to utter darkness and change it to deep gloom. If you do not listen, I will weep in secret because of your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly, overflowing with tears, because the Lord's flock will be taken captive. Say to the king and to the queen mother, come down from your thrones, for your glorious crowns will fall from your heads. The cities in the Negev will be shut up, and there will be no one to open them. All Judah will be carried into exile, carried completely away. Look up and see those who are coming from the north. Where is the flock that was entrusted to you, the sheep of which you boasted? What will you say when the Lord sets over you those you cultivated as your special allies? Will not pain grip you like that of a woman in labor? And if you ask yourself, why has this happened to me? It is because of your many sins that your skirts have been torn off and your body mistreated. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. I will scatter you like chaff, driven by the desert wind. This is your lot, the portion I have decreed for you, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in false gods. I will pull up your skirts over your face that your shame may be seen. your adulteries and lustful neighings, your shameless prostitution. I have seen your detestable acts on the hills and in the fields. Woe to you, Jerusalem. How long will you be unclean? This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the droughts. Judah mourns. Her cities languish. They wail for the land, and a cry goes up from Jerusalem. The nobles send their servants for water. They go to the cisterns but find no water. They return with their jars unfilled. Dismayed and despairing, they cover their heads. The ground is cracked because there is no rain in the land. The farmers are dismayed and cover their heads. Even the doe in the field deserts her newborn fawn because there is no grass. Wild donkeys stand on the barren heights and pant like jackals. Their eyes fail for lack of food. Although our sins testify against us, do something, Lord, for the sake of your name. For we have often rebelled. We have sinned against you. You who are the hope of Israel, its savior in times of distress, why are you like a stranger in the land, like a traveler who stays only a night? Why are you like a man taken by surprise, like a warrior powerless to save? You are among us, Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us. This is what the Lord says about this people. They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet. So the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. Okay, so that brings us obviously to the New Testament and this new letter, 1 Thessalonians, the first letter of Paul to the church in Thessalonica. The story of the establishment of this congregation is found in Acts chapter 17, and we read that when we went through the book of Acts. So Paul had previously been in Philippi. Persecution had become severe, and so he had to leave there and traveled to Thessalonica, where in a very short time, but a very intense time, a church was quickly planted. But then a mob was stirred up against the church. And so persecution broke out against the church. And Paul and his traveling companions, they had to be swept away in the night because they would have been killed. This is happening on Paul's second missionary journey. And then a few cities later, Paul found himself in Corinth. And he stayed in Corinth for a year and a half. And Corinth is probably where Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians. And it is, like a significant amount of biblical scholars believe this is the first, at least preserved, letter of the Apostle Paul. So Paul had longed to go back to Thessalonica just because of how quickly everything had happened and how under duress they were. So he wanted to encourage them, build up their faith, encourage the community, but he wasn't able to, so he sent Timothy. And when Timothy came back from Thessalonica and reported the good news that even though there was a lot of pressure, and even though everything happened really quickly, the church was staying true. And so Paul is relieved and exhilarated, and that relief and that joy can be seen and heard in the words of this letter. Very encouraging, very personal letter from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian believers. So it was persecution and this kind of pressure and the bullseye, right? Like the arrow being aimed at Paul constantly. and made it impossible for him to spend a whole lot of time among the Thessalonians. And that community was under such pressure that some of the believers had begun to question what Paul had taught them, especially things about the existence and the afterlife of a believer. And so Paul addresses this in the letter. He addresses a lot of things, but he addresses this in the letter, giving a more theological foundation from which the church in Thessalonica could grow and understand. And with all of these letters, since these letters are the earliest Christian documents, 1 Thessalonians is this fascinating look into the early church. 1 Thessalonians teaches us to respect each other, to remain true, to hold on to the passion that we have for God, even if the pressures of life are crushing, even if there's ridicule and persecution. And so, let us begin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 8. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you, because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Psalm 79, a psalm of Asaph. O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. They have left the dead bodies of your servants as food for the birds of the sky, the flesh of your own people for the animals of the wild. They have poured out blood like water all around Jerusalem, and there is no one to bury the dead. We are objects of contempt to our neighbors, of scorn and derision to those around us. How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and devastated his homeland. Do not hold against us the sins of past generations. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. Help us, God our Savior. For the glory of your name, deliver us and forgive our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?" Before our eyes, make known among the nations that you avenge the outpoured blood of your servants. May the groans of the prisoners come before you. With your strong arm, preserve those condemned to die. Pay back into the laps of our neighbors 7 times the contempt they have hurled at you, Lord. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever. From generation to generation, we will proclaim your praise. Proverbs 24:30-34. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we're moving forward into Thessalonians, and we open our spirits and our hearts and our ears and our minds to everything that you will reveal to us. Holy Spirit, lead us to what we need to know that can be applied to our lives, that can be a part of the transformative process of making us whole again. Look at this proverb today, and it's about a vineyard. But if we look at it in terms of our lives, it's about a sluggard. It's about a person who is not paying attention. Someone who has no sense about their own life. And thorns have come up everywhere, and the ground is covered with weeds. Like our hearts are thorny and full of weeds. And the wall that was supposed to be the boundaries around it, protecting it, is in ruins. And Solomon says, I looked at what I observed, and I understood. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Not paying attention. Being lazy about our vineyard, our heart. And we will be in poverty of heart. That could not be more true. And so, Holy Spirit, help us to look at the terrain of our hearts, the vineyard of our hearts today. Is it yielding anything beautiful, or is it thorny and full of weeds, and the boundaries have not been observed and are knocked down, and we're not paying attention? Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. Daily Audio Bible app is home base. So, App Store or web, get connected, be connected to the things that are going on around here. So right now, what's going on around here is this journey that we are on for the next several weeks of really kind of touring through the ancient Roman Empire and landing ourselves in all of the places that are named in the New Testament, all that have been identified and that we can visit. And so I am standing here and saying these words to you from Nashville, from the rolling hills of Tennessee, because of the length of travel, time zone differences, and ability to kind of check in and report live. But at this point right now, we should be in Istanbul, Turkey. And we should be probably pretty tired and in need of a good, strong cup of Turkish coffee. And I'm just going to project here and say, that's probably what I'm doing right now, is seeking that out. And then trying to figure out how to kind of get our bodies an 8 or 7 hour difference. Get our bodies acclimated. And so this afternoon, we are supposed to kind of start beginning this journey with a light, meeting a guy that's going to kind of be with us, bringing us to all of these places while in Turkey. And so kind of a little bit of light acclimation and just getting our bearings around Istanbul. And there's some, not so much New Testament, but very, very, very early church, early Christianity, like just one beat after the New Testament, that exists around here. For example, if I've got my itinerary right, before we really leave this area in the next couple of days, we'll go to the Hagia Sophia, which is a very ancient church. Also be making a journey to Nicaea. So if you've ever heard of the Nicene Creed, well, that was birthed in the early church out of a church council, like we see in the book of Acts, a church council to really make some specific declarations. And you may know it by heart. This may be something you say in church every Sunday, or it may be not something you've heard before, but probably you have, even if it's not something that's used in your denomination or church. So we'll kind of also be able to visit the place where that was formed. But that's in the coming days, and I am saying this from Nashville because there's no way I will be able to land there, set up, Jill and I have a conversation, and get it back into production in time. So thank you for your prayers. Watch our social media feeds. We'll be posting, even before we begin talking, we'll be posting as much as we can on all the platforms. And those for us are Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and X. But that's all I can say, because I'm standing here looking out the window at the rolling hills of Tennessee. So I can't even tell you what it looks like or smells like yet, because I've never been there. But we're going together, and we're going to figure this out together. And so I'm grateful for that. Thank you for your prayers. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what's happening here matters, if it's something that matters in your life, thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. It's soaring on eagle's wings, and I'm back in Canada now. And this morning, I want to take to the Father, Christy from Kentucky, and Susan, my friend, my dear sister. They're walking just at similar roads, you know. The loss of one so dear to your heart is a difficult, difficult journey. But Abba, you said you would never leave us or forsake us. You're walking right there beside them. Christy from Kentucky. Oh, this loss is so recent. And oh, your poor heart. You have been with your husband, giving him the loving care with such grace. Oh, Abba, I pray that you'd provide friends to surround Christy and to walk with her, help her through this very, very difficult time, that you'd grant her your peace and you would wipe her tears. One day she will say, look what the Lord has done, and have a testimony for you. Oh, hold her close, Father. Draw her very, very close and tight so that she will not be shaken. And for Susan, on Keith's anniversary coming up, oh, this boy we love so much, I pray for my sister, my friend, that you will continue to give her the strength she needs to endure.
Hi, DAB family. I'm calling in today from Fargo, North Dakota with some very, very sad news. A friend of mine lost her battle on September 19th to alcoholism. I would like to ask for prayers for all those involved, all those who knew her, including her parents, her recovery community, and all those from her church, including her friends. I also want to encourage anyone who is struggling with alcoholism to please reach out to someone who can help you, whether it's a sponsor, a spiritual mentor, a pastor, whatever. Just please reach out to somebody. There is hope and there is time. If you're still here, there is time. And this disease of alcoholism, and any addiction for that matter, drug or alcohol addiction, kills, and it's very, very heartbreaking for those of us left behind. Could you please pray for my friend, pray for her family, for all those who knew her, and if you're struggling, please, please, please reach out. God bless.
This is Redeemed in Southern Illinois. I wanted to call in a prayer for Jessie and her family going through some really rough times, and the revelation of family life, of what it's been for a while, and the hurt that that has. I'm so sorry, Jesse. Pray your mom is doing better. She's in the hospital, but that she's getting better. And that she'll make a change. Maybe this is what it took for her to leave things behind and to make some better choices and have a better way of life. And I just lift you up, and that you might be a bright, shining star for your family, living your life the best you can for Jesus, and just be kind. I pray he just wash over you and give you the strength and courage to be kind and loving in all that's going on, but to get through it, and that he provide protection for you and to mend your broken heart over all these things that have occurred. We love you, Jesse. Can you continue to call in? This is Redeemed in Southern Illinois. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys, it's your Eyes of a Dove. Well, Father, I just want to lift up Christy from Kentucky and Susan, God's yellow flower, my sisters, and now both suffering through great loss. Father, I just pray for Christy as she is transitioning in her life to being alone in her home and all the memories of her precious, precious Tim. Father, my heart just breaks for this situation, but I know that Tim is restored and finally healed and is with you rejoicing. And I know that Christy's rejoicing for him, even in her pain. But Father, I pray that you would come around her, that you would fill her life with great peace and hope and joy. Thank you for Daniel Kingdom Seeker and Susan, God's Yellow Flower, for bringing them near to Christy and ministering to her, Father God. And just, Father, I just pray for Susan as she continues to grieve over the loss of her dear son. Our precious family members in the Dab, it hurts us when we hear these things. Also, there was a dear lady that was on the prayer line that has two bachelor degrees and job certifications, been out of work since April. And Father, I just pray that you would help her find employment, open up doors for her, restore her financially, help her get a job in Texas, Lord Jesus. Just be there for her, help her not lose hope, Lord God. Bring great favor to those that are reviewing her application, and that a job would open up for her in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great day, you guys. I love you. Be at peace, and talk to you again.
Hi, this is Janice from New Zealand. I'd just like to thank you, Brian, for giving us the example of a bad garden and a good gardener. I love gardening, but the way you explained it tonight, it was absolutely brilliant and beautiful. So God bless you, Brian and Jill, for the time that you spend giving us the word every day. Blessing it both. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, my DAB family. This is Walking in the Light in Tennessee. Just checking in to say, happy fall, y'all. It's beautiful here in Tennessee, East Tennessee, and the weather is fine. I'm sitting on my front porch watching the seasons change, watching the leaves change. But the purpose of my call this morning is to give a shout out to Jamie in New Jersey, who calls consistently and offers prayer. And I don't know how long he's been doing it for, a very, very, very long time, I believe. And so I'm just so thankful for his interaction and thankful for his consistency. Let me offer a prayer for you. This is Walking in the Light in Tennessee, just praying God's protection over you, your family, your friends, your circumstances, your finances. You never say what's going on. You've never, as far as I know, asked for any prayer requests from anybody. anybody. And so it's just really an amazing thing. You are a model of faithfulness. And just to let you know that you're appreciated all the way down here in Tennessee. So God is good. Father God, I ask you to cover our prayer warrior with the blood of Jesus, first of all, and then everything else will be added unto that. And we know that sufficiency has already been provided. So we thank you for his heart and how he continues to pray for all of us. I love the DAB family and I love being a part of it. It's just an awesome, awesome thing. And so God is still good and we shall continue to walk in the light in Tennessee. Remember me here. I covet your prayers and I need your prayers. So God is good. Bye-bye.